morning. This is Pastor Stolz calling. And welcome to our Sunday worship service. Let me give you the scripture readings so you have time to look them up. The Old Testament is 1 Chronicles 29, 10 to 13. The Epistle, 1 Corinthians 10, 6 to 13. The Gospel, Luke 16, 1 to 9. And the closing hymn, 53. And just a reminder, both congregations now celebrate Holy Communion. And let us begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of truth, and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all of our sins. To them that believe on his name he gives power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to the Father, on glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. We glorify thee, we give thanks unto thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, the Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, have mercy upon us. For thou art only holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. And the Lord be with you, and let us pray. Let thy merciful ears, O Lord, be upon the prayers of your humble servants, that they may obtain their petitions. Make them to ask such things as shall please thee. We pray this through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. And And we confess our faith according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Old Testament reading, once again, First Chronicles, chapter 29, verses 10 to 13. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory, and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as the head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thee, thy glorious name. So far. This morning's epistle, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 6 to 13. Now these things were our examples in the midst that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, The people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,020. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now of all things happened unto them, for examples, and they are written, for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are to come. Therefore let him think that he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So far. The Gospel, St. Luke, chapter 16, verses 1 to 9. And he said unto his disciples, There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am too ashamed. But I am resolved as to what I am going to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said, Unto the first, How much owest thou, my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take your bill, sit down, and quickly write 50. Then said he to another, How much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, Make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. So far. I believe that most people are aware of their financial situation, good, bad, or indifferent. And there are certain principles with which you operate. Whether you're running a large business, running a farm, or simply keeping the family checkbook in balance. In a passing way, Jesus, in this morning's gospel, gives an example of stewardship. It's an unusual example, but it gets the job done. But Jesus quickly gets to the point that there is more to our lives as children of God and stewards of His grace than simply matters of finance. In fact, He warns that our devotion to Mammon dare not be so consuming that it takes precedence over our devotion to God. You cannot serve God and Mammon. Serving God always comes first. Scripture warns that the love of money is the root of all evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith. Yet our Savior also indicates that we should not ignore what we practice in the world of business, as though it has no relationship to our business of being the people of God. That the principles that we apply to our business endeavors might well be applied also to our activities as Christians as well. Now take the unjust steward, for example, and yes, Jesus does mean for us to take him as an example. Not that we are to follow the pattern of his injustice. If this steward could be that dedicated to his finances, to the point of being received into their homes when I am put out of my stewardship, shouldn't we also be able to catch some of his zeal and show the same diligence in our carrying on the work of the Lord and dealing with matters which involve eternal habitations? The unjust steward, for all that was wrong with him, can still teach us a few lessons. The sons of this world are wiser in their own generation than the sons of light. For one thing, they knew what the situation was. Nobody had to stand there week after week and preach him sermons to inform him that he had better do something about it. No, sir. He knew what he wanted. He carefully assessed the situation. He said, I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm too ashamed to beg. But there was another alternative. While the world has not changed, and we, the sons of light, can still learn from the sons of the world. Everyone else seems to know what they want. The business community, the labor forces, petty thieves, big-time gangsters, everyone has a goal. They're all out to achieve something. They know what the situation is. All, it seems, but those who gather in the Lord's name. We should know what the situation is too. For the Lord has not neglected to tell us the fact that God desires all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth that without saving faith in Jesus Christ, people will not enter the eternal habitations, but they will be cast out forever. The world is headed for something worse than the poorhouse. And so badly does God want the world to be saved from that fate that he was willing to send his only begotten Son to suffer and to die on the cross and to rise from the dead to make it possible for people to be forgiven of their sins and be made heirs of eternal life. And God has called us by his grace to be his stewards in this world. And he has equipped us, commissioned us to spread this truth and to offer salvation to all. Through us, God would offer them eternal habitations. We have the world's most needed commodity to distribute, and we are offering it at the world's most popular price, absolutely free. The unjust steward is a good example for us, from whom we can learn what it means to be aware of the situation. The unjust steward can also teach us a lesson in knowing how to achieve our goal. He had a plan, and it was a good one. He would write off his commission on those debts which were currently owed to his master. It would cost him for the moment, but it was worth the expense in view of the long-range goal. And in doing so, he would secure his future. Just as God himself did not count the cost when he gave his Son as a ransom for mankind, so much did he desire that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So the unjust steward let nothing get in the way of his goal. The world may be out there beating the bushes, while we, sometimes, are unable to work out a plan to achieve God's goal. Another lesson we can learn from the unjust steward is when the thinking and the planning have been done, he got to work. Don't just talk about our Christian mission. Do it, someone has said, and perhaps rightly so, that when the good Lord comes again in glory, he will find most of his people attending a meeting, talking about the work to be done, rather than busy doing it. You see, diligent, after all, is what this parable is all about. Good stewardship. This is what Jesus has commended in the unjust steward. Not his injustice, but his diligence, his wisdom in devising a plan of action, and his persistence in getting the job done. Our Savior's conclusion, well, if they can do it, then certainly we can do it as well. Because the stakes are higher than just financial security. The stakes are the eternal habitations, the difference between salvation and damnation. People are dying and going to hell without the gospel of forgiveness and salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. We, who are the faithful managers of our money, are also called to be faithful stewards of the mysteries of God. We have more to work with than did the unjust steward. We have more to work for: repentance, forgiveness of sins, eternal life. We have been entrusted with what our Lord calls the true riches, and that is the gospel. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us and extend itself into the eternal joys of heaven. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, unto thy church the Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which comes down from above, that your word, as becometh it, may not be bound, but have free course, and be preached to the joy and edification of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve thee, and in the confession of thy name abide unto the very end, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.